Just one more. Most alcoholics say they can stop drinking whenever they want. Problem is, whenever never comes. Christians are not immune from the pull of alcohol and the chance of a life ruined as a result. Sadly, one destroyed life invariably takes other lives with it. Today, you'll hear more sobering truth about alcoholism, the bondage of drink. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our current series describes seven secret snares that can trap the Christian. Today, Dr. Lutzer is speaking on snare number three, alcoholism, quitting tomorrow, an addiction that distorts a person's sense of reality.
There is transference then of faith to the substance. Now let's just get into the mind of an addict here for a moment. People have disappointed him. His family has disappointed him. His employer has disappointed him. And God has disappointed him. Where is God in the midst of all this? I cried to him, I asked him for help, and nothing happened. But I found something that I can depend upon. Something, and that is that precious bottle. It will be there when I need it. The drugs will be there when I need them. In fact, I'm going to make sure that they're going to be there. And that's why you begin to figure out how to get the money. Because now you have finally something that you can depend on. You'll be able to escape, get out of your reality with all of its difficulties, and you'll be able to go into that private world whenever you like. Oh, your family doesn't want you to, but since when have they helped you anyway? Now, I remember on television a young woman was interviewed who said that she got drunk every weekend and had a sexual relationship with a man, a different man, every weekend, sometimes even not knowing his name. But then she said this. She said, because I am so wasted, when I wake up, I say to myself, it really doesn't matter because I can't be responsible for it because I was drunk, she said. Now, where else can you find something that will do that for you? A way to be immoral without even feeling guilty. Now, God can't do that for you. God never would do that for you. So what happens is there is that transfer now, that incredible transfer of trust to that substance that's going to be there for you, to do for you what no person or God has ever done. Now keep in mind, you're breaking the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before you. And now suddenly this substance becomes your God. And is it therefore not surprising that along with that kind of trance and euphoria also come evil spirits who are going to want to take the and make the very, very best of the situation and try to exploit your weakness because you are putting the substance in the place of God, and they will come there to make sure that they are a part of the process. But here's the problem. You already know what the problem is. You put all of the faith that you have into these substances, but the substances break their promises. They can only give you that euphoria for a little time, and then afterwards there's depression, and there's despair, and there's guilt, and there's shame, and that shame begins to build and to build and to build, and all of the promises are illusionary, and you know that that world is a world of delusion. It is not a world of reality. And now the question is, what is it that you are going to do? There's only one thing to do, and that is to turn to your substance again to deaden the pain of the shame and the loneliness and the emptiness. So what do people do? They drink in order to solve the problems that drink has created. And on it goes. That's number two. Number three, there's the development of the protective shell, the protective shell. Now let's just enter that world for a moment. Here you are with your own private little experience of euphoria, and it is the one that allows you to escape. And the people around you don't like what is happening. They don't like it at all. So what do? You begin to cut out other people, and you become antisocial. for one reason. Number one, you do not want the shame revealed, because that is very painful. That is more painful than physical disability, to have all of that hurt come out. And so that has to be confidently stuffed into your soul and protected. That's a part of it. But there's another part of it as well. And that is that you do not want people to come inside so that you can go and retreat into your own little world and be there. And you say to yourself, people say, well, you know, look at this alcoholic. Doesn't he care about his kids? The answer is no, he doesn't care about his kids, because all that he can think about is that escape into that euphoric experience, and there is nothing else to think about. And after all, when were his kids ever good anyway? Let me give you a fourth, and that is the development of the addictive personality. Some of you who live with addicts, you know what this is about. Because remember now, your whole world is going to revolve around this question of how do you be able to sustain, how can you sustain the trance? So what happens is you become very manipulative, incredibly manipulative, cunning. You begin to be able to get money. You begin to tell lies. The lies do not bother you, because soon they are going to be drowned out in the experience anyway. You begin to use people. You lie and you expect your family to lie, and you hope that your friends will lie. When they don't, all that they are is people who need to be blamed, because they are standing in the way of the only thing that is going to get you away from your pain, you think, and give you just the little bit of pleasure that you deserve. And so on and on it goes. And if you're rich enough to sustain the habit so that you don't have to resort to theft, what you will do is begin to lie even when you don't have to lie. It simply erodes your character to such an extent that no matter what you do, it's okay now, because everything has to be poured through the bent lens of the way in which you see the world, and it may permanently alter the way in which you see reality. What a tragedy. The addictive personality, the narcissism, is unbelievable. Where every remark, every event is filtered through this experience as to how it relates to you. There can be no genuine caring for other people, because your whole life revolves around yourself. Finally, there is what we could call a cycle develops. Because in the midst of this, the protective shell sometimes is broken. Those who are on drugs or alcohol, they wake up some morning and they are so sick and tired of what they've done and losing their families and losing their jobs that they say, this is the last time. I'm never going to touch another drop. And sometimes they don't for several months. And they begin to say to themselves, see, I'm not an addict. I just proved it. I did without a drink for 12 weeks. That proves I am master. I can quit whenever I want. And so what do? Well, you know what they do. They take another drink, and the fire of desire is twice as hot as it once was. And the whole cycle begins over again. How accurate the scriptures are when they say in Proverbs chapter 5, the evil deeds of a wicked man ensnare him. That's why we called it the seven snares that we're talking about. The cords of his sin hold him fast. He will die for lack of discipline, led astray by his own great folly. What a tragedy. Well, the answer, of course, is what does the Bible say about this? Now, you know what the Bible says, though I'm going to read some passages to you, but I need to underline something. First of all, the Bible gives incredible warnings about alcoholism and drunkenness. As a matter of fact, these warnings are very clearly given, and sometimes they are even spoken of as judgments. But I need to say to those of you who are struggling with substance abuse, whether alcoholism or drugs, listen to me carefully. I'm not reading these passages to condemn you, because you already feel that deep sense of shame and condemnation. I'm reading these passages for the many people who have not begun these pathways, to warn them, to plead with them, stay away from that which debilitates and ruins. And that's why I'm reading them. For you who are struggling in a few moments, I'm going to give you some scriptural encouragement and show you the path out. But for now, the warnings. Listen to this found, for example, in Isaiah chapter 5. Woe to those who rise early in the morning to run after their drinks, who stay up late at night till they are inflamed with wine. They have harps and lyres at their banquets, tambourines and flutes and wine, but they have no regard for the deeds of the Lord, no respect for the work of his hands. Therefore my people will go into exile for lack of understanding. Their men of rank will die of hunger, and their masses will be parched with thirst. Wow. What about the book of Jeremiah? Listen to this judgment that God pronounces. This is what the Lord says: I am going to fill with drunkenness all who live in this land, including the kings who sit on David's throne, the priests and the prophets, and those living in Jerusalem. I will smash them one against the other, fathers and sons alike, declares the Lord. I will allow no pity or mercy or compassion to keep me from destroying them. God says, I want you to understand that when I fill people with drunkenness, it is a sign of my judgment. Now listen to this accurate description. Again, we admire the scriptures. We admire God's word for its accurate description of what alcoholism is like. Just listen to this. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has strife? Who has complaints? Who has needless bruises? Who has bloodshot eyes? Who will linger over wine? Who will go to sample bowls of mixed wine? Do not gaze at wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly. In the end, it bites like a snake and poisons like a viper. Your eyes will see strange sights, and your mind imagine confusing things. You will be one like sleeping on the high seas, lying on top of the rigging. They hit me, you will say, but I'm not hurt. They beat me. I don't feel it. And when I wake up, I will ask, where can I find another drink? What a sobering description of what alcoholism is like. This is Pastor Lutzer. Did you pick up on that phrase in the message where it said that God is saying that alcoholism is a judgment from the hand of the Lord? You see, when we turn from God and we turn to the bottle, we are really substituting that bottle for the Lord God in our lives. And if there's an alcoholic who's listening to this broadcast, I'm sure that he or she is recognizing that indeed they have some substitute in their life, some substitute that takes the place of the Almighty. Well, it's easy to get into the pit. How do you get out? Could I ask you at this moment to pray to God, to yield yourself to him, and then ask him a question? Who can you speak to help you to live differently? May the Lord grant you that grace.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer with more of Alcoholism Quitting Tomorrow, another message in a series on seven secret snares. Next time, more sobering truth about alcohol addiction. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. This series can be yours in the book Seven Snares of the Enemy by Dr. Lutzer. Your copy will be sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for tomorrow's Running to Win.